Baroness Hale and Terry Deary at Richmond Festival. Baroness Hale and Horrible Histories author Terry Deary will appear at the 2026 Richmond Walking and Book Festival, which runs from September 18th to 27th in Richmond, combining 9 days of literary events with guided walks through the Yorkshire Dales. Now in its 21st year, the festival celebrates literature, landscape and local heritage, and will feature talks, workshops, community events and daily walking routes through the surrounding countryside. Barbara Gravener, chair of the Richmond Walking and Book Festival, said, "We look forward to welcoming locals and visitors from further afield to our unique festival. With walks for all abilities and an exciting programme of book events, there'll be plenty for audiences of all ages and interests to enjoy." Baroness Hale, the former president of the UK Supreme Court, will appear in conversation with Northern Echo journalist and historian Chris Lloyd at the Georgian Theatre Royal on Friday, September 25th. She will discuss her life, legal career, and her latest book, With the Law on Our Side. Mr. Deary will close the festival at the same venue on Sunday, September the 27th, with a talk about Actually, I'm a Corpse, the second novel in his adult murder mystery series set in 1970s Sunderland. Other confirmed guests include writers Hindpal Singh Bhui, Adam Weymouth, Daniel Stables and Thomas Bell. The programme will cover topics as varied as crime fiction, European politics, nature writing, poetry, travel and extraordinary personal journeys. The festival opens on Friday, September 18th at Richmondshire Cricket Club with a talk by filmmaker Asad Kurashai. He will share his account of spending 165 days held captive by the Taliban, offering a powerful insight into fear, resilience and survival. Events will be held across Richmond at venues including the Georgian Theatre Royal, Richmond Town Hall, the Station Cinema and Richmondshire Cricket Club. In addition to the literary talks, the festival offers daily guided walks through the Yorkshire Dales, with routes suitable for all abilities. Workshops in sketching and bookbinding will also be available, providing opportunities to explore creativity alongside the natural landscape. The Richmond Walking and Book Festival is organised by a team of trustees and volunteers in partnership with the Swaledale Outdoor Club and is managed by registered charity 119 1688. It aims to bring together the enjoyment of books, the outdoors and community through an annual programme of events that reflect natural beauty and cultural heritage. Tickets for most events are now on sale and can be booked via ticketsource.com/richmond-walking-and-book-festival. Tickets for events at the Georgian Theatre Royal, featuring Baroness Hale and Terry Deary, are priced at £15 and can be reserved directly through the theatre box office on 01748 825 252 or via georgiantheatreroyal.co.uk. The full festival programme is available to view at www.booksandboots.org.
Dog bitten by snake on Waskilly Way Walk in County Durham. 3-year-old chocolate sprocker spaniel, Button, was bitten on the lip close to her whiskers while walking along Waskilly Way with owners Belinda and Ronnie Seymour from Concert. Within moments, the much-loved pet began drooling heavily, became lethargic, and her face rapidly started to swell. Her owners were forced to rush her to an emergency vet after the incident, out of hours on a Sunday. Belinda said, "We'd just set off on our walk when Button saw something. My husband saw the snake and pulled her away, but we can only assume she was bitten. We scooped her up and got her to an emergency vet as soon as we could. At this stage, we couldn't see bite marks, so there was always the possibility she had been stung by an insect, but once the swelling went down, you could see the puncture marks. We got such a shock, but she's absolutely fine now and back to her normal self. Button spent a night in a Westway Vets 24-hour hospital on West Road in Newcastle and needed several days of pain relief after the bite left her face, neck and chest severely swollen. The family pet was later transferred into the care of her regular vet, Prince Bishop Vets in Ledgate, where she continued to receive treatment. But despite the frightening ordeal, Button has now made a full recovery and is back to her usual self. Alice Brazier, who treated Button at the Ledgate practice, has issued a warning to owners to be extra cautious when out walking their dogs this summer, as adders are more active in warmer weather. Alice said signs of an adder bite include sudden swelling around the bite site, pain, excessive drooling, lethargy, limping, vomiting or collapse. Most bites occur on a dog's face or legs, as these are the areas most likely to be targeted if they are investigating a snake. Adder bites are really nasty for dogs and poor Button was very sore and swollen for several days. If you think your dog may have been bitten, it is important to get to a vet for emergency treatment. If you believe your pet has been bitten by an adder, the vets say you should stay calm and keep your dog as still as possible. Limiting movement can help slow the spread of the venom through the body. Carry your dog if you can. If your dog is too large to carry, keep them on a short lead and walk them slowly to the car. Contact your veterinary practice straight away. If your usual practice is closed, call the nearest emergency or out-of-hours veterinary service to let them know you are on your way. Do not attempt first aid such as cutting the wound, sucking out the venom or applying a tourniquet. These methods are ineffective and can make the injury worse. Do not try to catch or kill the snake. If it is safe to do so, take a photo from a distance to help with identification, but never put yourself at risk.
Darlington warehouse raided as 1,300 laughing gas cans seized. More than 1,300 canisters of nitrous oxide were seized from a warehouse in the Lingfield area of Darlington. Police say the nitrous oxide, often known as laughing gas, were recovered during a pre-planned raid on August 6th. A 26-year-old man was arrested at a separate address in Winfield on suspicion of being concerned in the supply of drugs and has since been released on bail while further inquiries continue. Officers discovered several pallets inside a warehouse, each containing large quantities of nitrous oxide, now classified as a Class C drug. Police also seized around £30,000 in cash during the operation. Chief Inspector Sarah Hindmarsh, head of the Durham Roads and Armed Police Unit, said, "Nitrous oxide is a really dangerous drug which can cause unconsciousness and even neurological damage or death from suffocation of the oxygen supply to the brain. We are seeing a growing number of people, particularly young people, using the drug across County Durham and Darlington. The issue is particularly prevalent amongst young drivers who don't understand the harm it can cause to them or the danger they could cause to other road users if they use the drug while driving. We have sadly seen the damage that driving under the influence of nitrous oxide can cause, so are taking proactive measures, such as operations like this, to tackle it. This was a great piece of cross-command working, resulting in a significant seizure of illegal drugs. Had we not intercepted this supply, these canisters would have found their way onto our streets, potentially putting innocent people in danger. Inquiries remain ongoing."
Volunteers told to leave by council after renovating Durham Park. A volunteer group responsible for transforming a neglected green space into a thriving community park has accused a council of threatening legal action after being ordered to leave the site. Hemp Garden Community Association, HGCA said it had received a formal notice from solicitors acting on behalf of Durham County Council requiring it to stop its work at Elvert Green in Durham with immediate effect and remove its equipment. The organisation, which has cared for the former bowling green since 2017, said the notice warned that failure to comply could result in injunction proceedings and an application for the council's legal costs. But Durham County Council said it had received several complaints about the unauthorised use of the council-owned land by the group, including the hosting of public events and other activities. HGCA said volunteers had spent thousands of hours restoring the site, which had previously been associated with litter, drug use and antisocial behaviour. The group said volunteers had cleared rubbish and hazardous waste, repaired grassed areas, planted flowers, shrubs and trees, improved pathways, enhanced biodiversity and organised regular community work days, all free of charge. Simpa Carter, Executive Director of HGCA, said volunteers had transformed the former bowling green into a place that brings the community together and has become a source of local pride. He said, after years of openly caring for Elvert Green, we were genuinely surprised that the first time we were asked to stop our work or remove our equipment was in a formal notice from the council's solicitors. None of us ever imagined that caring for a public park would lead to the threat of legal action. However, a council spokesperson said the authority wrote to the group in July and again in October last year to advise it that it did not have permission to use the land. Last year, the local authority put the former toilet block and adjoining land at Elvert Green up for sale. HGCA volunteers said they hoped to attract investors to buy into its plan to open a community cafe at the site. More than 1,100 people signed a petition calling for the proposed sale of Elvert Green to be paused while further public consultation takes place. Mr. Carter added, "We remain hopeful that a positive solution can be found so Elvert Green can continue to thrive as a place that brings people together for years to come." Durham County Council said work is due to begin on replacing the nearby Baths Bridge and the site will be used to provide construction access. The spokesperson added, "We have, therefore, asked the group to vacate the land to enable these essential works to proceed and to allow for the wider regeneration of the Riverside area. Elvert Waterside is set to play a key role in this with plans for the sale and redevelopment of the former public toilet block alongside the potential creation of a cafe and other improvements that will enhance the area for residents and visitors."
And that concludes the news. Now it's time for the magazine. Edited this week by Kieran Grogan. Articles include Kindness of Strangers, Leo Drove Us Home in a Blizzard, and His Parting Words Have Stayed With Me. The Older You Get, the Less You Party, You Can't Be Bothered, A Day in the Life of Steve Redgrave. Sight Loss Friendly, Holidays. Why Centuries of Superstitions Cast This Bird as a Villain and an Omen of Ill Fortune. The meaning behind Darlington's name. It's not about wool. Is it true that hair grows faster when you cut it? Do leftovers taste better the next day? Sometimes, according to science. And Ode to Autumn. Kindness of Strangers. Leo Drove Us Home in a Blizzard and His Parting Words Have Stayed With Me. Amrit Atwal told to Katie Cunningham in The Guardian. I was graduating from university the same day Storm Goretti was due to hit Birmingham. The forecast was for snow, and lots of it, so I decided to get the bus in rather than risk driving and having to leave my car behind in a snowstorm. Joining me was my mum. We successfully attended the ceremony and managed to get on a bus back home, but as the snow worsened, it broke down a kilometre from my house. The whole bus emptied, and we were forced to walk through the blizzard. It was like the day after tomorrow out there. Tough conditions for anyone, but my mum, who was in her late 60s, was struggling to make even a few steps. Taxis were not an option. I tried to flag down one of the few cars that drove past without luck. I was losing hope until I spotted a stationary BMW outside a pub. By this stage, Mum was on the verge of a panic attack. I waved at the passenger side window and breathlessly convinced the driver to take us home. His name was Leo, and I could tell he was initially a bit annoyed at the situation. He'd been waiting to pick up a friend and was now lumbered with delivering two strangers home in dangerous conditions. But he drove us anyway. The roads were so treacherous, cars skidding everywhere. That, what should have been a 5-minute drive, ended up taking 40 minutes. My mum didn't speak much English, so I did the talking, suggesting routes that might get us home. As the long journey wore on, I could see Leo soften and realise how vulnerable our situation was. As I was leaving the car, he said something that stayed with me. "I can see how hard it was to help your mum today, and I hope that if I'm ever in the same position, I will step up in the way you did." Leo offered me two great kindnesses that day. He got us safely home at great personal inconvenience. But he also offered me acknowledgement of how hard I worked to look after my mum. I didn't realise until I heard his words just how much I needed that. My mum had a lot of mental health issues and often underestimated my abilities. Thanks to Leo, she was able to see that I am capable in a crisis. It felt like a pivotal moment in our relationship, one that came just in time. Mum passed away suddenly a month later. There are very few people who would have taken two women home in that weather, and even fewer with the emotional intelligence to say exactly what needed to be said without any prompting. So thank you, Leo. I owe you a drink.